It's our privilege tonight to have Dr. Bob Valier with us again, and we look forward to his ministry to us. He is a man that keeps his finger on the pulse of what's taking place in our country, what's happening around. He visits in so many different churches. He sees the different things that are taking place, and so I appreciate his willingness to come and speak to us tonight. So, brother, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
Well, 3 years have gone by, and I sit and look over here, and I think, it's almost 43 years, isn't it? We used to have a class together. I remember American Family. She sat across and graded my papers. No wonder I didn't pass that class. Oh, my. Where did the time go? It's like I heard an old country preacher said, by the time your face clears up, your hair falls out, then you're old. And where'd it go? And that's where we're seeing. Boy, the things went by fast. And it goes by faster as you get older. You know, when you're young, you think, I'll never get to be 11 years old. Well, I got 11 years old and I joined the Boy Scouts. And then I thought, when I was 11, I can't wait till I get to be 16. Why?
Drive a car.
And I got 16 driving a car, and I thought, now I got a little bit of freedom. I thought, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can get out of the house and go to college or join the military. Now, when you got 18 and you got away from home and you went off to college, I used to think, boy, it only means 4 years. That's forever. It's going to take 4 years to graduate college. Well, now it's over 40 years since we graduated college. Where did the time go? And boy, when you got to be 21, you thought, you know, if I could only be 25, you know why? Because my insurance rates go down in my car. And then when you got to be 25 and you got a couple of kids, you think, if I was only 45, these kids would be grown up. And then you got 45 and you said, I thought if I could only get to be 65 so I didn't have to go to work anymore. Then you got 65 and you said, if I was only 11 years old again. It all went by real fast, didn't it? Tonight, I want to look in our Bible to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, just a few verses down here, we'll try to give you some principle that you can hang your hat on tonight and take with you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak here. I was one of those guys that when you went to school, they said if you went to a Christian college, you find a good Christian wife. Well, after 4 years, that didn't work. So I tried a couple more years, and that didn't work. And so then I was so dumb, I didn't know when to quit, so I stayed all the way through the PhD level, and then I met my father-in-law. He was a pastor, and he said, you don't find someone, you be someone. And I thought, well, that's a truth. Don't go looking for something, be someone. I remember a young man said to me one time, he said, I'm hanging around with the wrong crowd. And I thought, this is a guy, Bob Jones, and he's telling me this. He said, I'm hanging around with the wrong crowd. And I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not hanging around the wrong crowd. You are the wrong crowd. That's why that crowd hangs around you. Yeah. Wow, things go by fast. Tonight I want us to look in Matthew 6, 25, down to the end of the chapter. Therefore I said to you, take no thought. Boy, there's a prohibition right there. Take no thought. Notice how many times it tells us, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Over and over again it's going to say this. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore I say unto you, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying what ye shall eat, or what we shall drink, nor wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's bow our heads and pray tonight. Our Father, we come before thee tonight, and we come as a needy people. So many things are filling our thoughts, fearful things. Lord, our country is today is not the same country that we knew 40 years ago. It's not the same country we knew 20 years ago. And Lord, how much we've changed even in the past year. Oh God, I pray that tonight we would obey the principles in this passage, that we would take no thought and seek first the kingdom of God. Bless now this time. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take no thought. Take no thought. And I'm here to say America doesn't have a money problem. We've got a moral problem. If we change the morals, we would have no problem with the money. And I say the same thing goes for our own personal lives. If we would handle our money that God gives us morally, we probably wouldn't have any money problems. But people often get misconstrued priorities. And here in this passage, it tells us over and over and over again what our priority ought to be. And if any verse ought to just jump off the page, this verse ought to jump off the page to you. When it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I remember some years ago, there were a friend of mine had an airplane, and he bought it from David Gibbs. And they flew around. He was the pilot for David Gibbs. And one night he was flying that airplane, and he flew Ollie North all day long that day. And that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he left Washington, D.C. area and flew over to Winchester. And when he was coming in for a landing, you know, it late at night, tired, and when you're flying a complex aircraft, you got to put the wheels down, you got to watch the RPMs, the pressure on the prop and so on, and you got all these things and people talking to you, and then you're trying to get this thing down on the ground. You know what, a landing is nothing but a controlled crash. It's where the wheels meet the ground, but it's a controlled crash. And somehow, something went wrong with this airplane. And in this airplane he was flying, if you get it below 100 miles an hour, 90 knots, that's what it is, 90 knots, about 100 miles an hour. If you get it below 90 knots, this airplane will stall. You know what a stall is? Some of you know what it is. When you get going a little bit too slow, the airplane will just drop out of the sky because it's not going fast enough. And by the way, what makes an airplane fly? Not the wind that goes under the wing. It's the wind that goes over the top to create a vacuum. There's that curvature. And so he was going in and he slowed the thing up. And he got distracted just momentarily. And this airplane, when you stall it, if you're a good pilot, you can pull it out in 3,000 feet. Because it has a very, very thin wing, and so you got to be going fast. It's a very fast airplane as well. And he's trying to land this thing, and he got it just a little bit too slow, and the airplane stalled at 800 feet. And the rest of the story is that plane crashed into the ground. The NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, said that the reason why the plane crashed is not because it was out of gas. There was a rumor that it was out of gas and all that went around. But no, what they finally concluded was that the pilot had pilot error. In other words, he didn't pay attention to the placard that was on the dashboard. Now, you know what a placard is? You're right. So you teachers, you got those that little doohickey machine and you put the little sticky thing on the cabinet or something. I mean, we've got a couple of placards in the house like, push the refrigerator door shut because it doesn't always shut when you let it go. Or when we had our daughter, and we had several other girls in our house, And because we live next to the university, always got several there. And we had to put a placard on the microwave. Do not put aluminum foil in the microwave. After how many did we burn up? Four. That's a mortgage payment. Four microwaves burned up because somebody didn't pay attention to the placard that says do not, you know, and when you make popcorn, yeah, you put it in the microwave and you got that metal thing in there and all that foil, and what do you think? Thing catches on fire. That's what a placard is, a little sticky note, sometimes in plastic, do not, and you got a whole lot of things, you know, push the door shut. And so there was a placard. After that plane had crashed and burned up, there was one part of that dashboard they had a picture of, and there was a great big one-inch placard, do not allow this airplane to get below 90 knots. And what happened is he got it a little bit too slow, and the airplane stalled and went right into the ground. And that took his life. Why? Because he got distracted with something else. I'm afraid tonight there are many, many people tonight who have been distracted by things in life and forgot their number one priority was to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I find a lot of people out there, even Christian people, are trying to set up their own little kingdom on this earth. And then there's a whole lot of people trying to scare people about, well, this whole world's going to collapse. And they're trying to set up their own little kingdom. You know, our priorities are over here looking at the wrong things and looking for a political answer when we need a moral answer. Our priorities need to get right back to God. Number one priority, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The majority of life's problems can generally be traced back to priorities that got out of order. I look at this church here, and I've known about this church. I knew Dr. Hobson. I used to love to hear him preach at Bob Jones, and I thought, boy, this would be the place to be. This is one of those great churches. And what happens over the years? Some people have come, and some have gone, and some have got their priorities on something else. And they're no longer in church. I got a phone call coming down here today. Our pastor said we were in about 100 churches last year. It's 100, 101, anyways. And we field almost 3,000 calls a year, sometimes 40 a day. And today, just driving down here, here's a church that's got someone in the church that's all upset because the church provides a luncheon for people on Sunday afternoon. So therefore, since they don't charge for the lunch and they get the lunch free, we got to subtract the cost of that lunch from their tithe because they got a benefit. And you know, all the priorities, now it's all stirred up and they're getting other people involved, the CLA, they're trying to get me involved, they're trying to get some attorney up there, Greenville, involved. And all this is getting all stirred up. Over what? Friends, we got to keep the priority. The main thing is the main thing, and that's Matthew 6:33. This verse ought to jump off the page as that red placard did across the front of that airplane. And don't forget that. Hey, one thing I learned about flying is, number one, fly the airplane. Just fly the plane. I'm not up there to be looking out the window and say, oh, there's so-and-so down there, and this is this, oh, that's pretty over here. No, I got to fly the plane. There's no time for that. Just fly the plane. But see, when it comes to our Christian life, we start to look into this little thing and this little thing over here and this issue over here and then this political thing over here, and we get sidetracked, and now we've gotten so far away from it that we're not even in church anymore. Somebody gets hurt about something, and instead of focusing on the solution to the problem, they want to magnify the problem and then go get other people to join in to get their point of view and get this person joined in, and they all want everybody to have the problem. I had one lady last year calls me up, and sure, I met with her and her husband, and they got a new pastor. Now, the other pastor was a nice, easygoing guy. Now, they got a strong, choleric leader. And he's the kind of guy that takes charge of everything. Wow. Now they're all upset. You know, I said to her, ma'am, And I said to her husband, if it's not doctrinal and it's not immoral, it's no reason to go out there and move your membership. But you get your things on something else out there. It's personalities. Hey, let's face it. You know, we're all going to have to live with each other for eternity if we're going to heaven. I used to say, if you're going up, the label falls off. If you're going down, the label's going to burn off. But we better learn how to get along with each other. And we got all these little things we get focused on. And now we, you know, they're the type that wear brown shoes, and this one wears red shoes. And so now this church is splitting up all this. I mean, one church split up over the color of the bathroom. Who cares? We get our eyes on all kinds of things, and then we find we stall in the Christian life. Our number one priority ought to be seek first the kingdom of God. When in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, Eve put the natural things before the spiritual things, didn't she? And then, not to be outdone by his wife, Adam put his relationship with his wife over his relationship with God. Hey, friends, nothing ought to take God's place in your life. And believe me, there is an infinite number of pleasures out there that could get you to take God's place. Be careful what you talk yourself into, because you could talk yourself out of God's best right into the world's mess. Hey, some people are looking for popularity. Some people are looking for opportunities and money. Look for God. Keep God first, number one priority. How we manage our financial resources tonight is a direct revelation of what we deem most important in our life. We must put God in His kingdom number one in our life. Why? Because Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. But we can get sidetracked. We can talk ourselves right out of church even. Solomon found by putting God first, God was able to bless him because he asked for wisdom and he put God first and God blessed him. When the little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he went home with 12 baskets full. God multiplied what he had because he put God first. And when you put God first, God will always multiply that. God will always give him more back. And when the multitude came to hear Jesus, the 5,000, here, they went home, the boy went home with 12 baskets full. And I could hear the mother saying, now, son, where did you get all that stuff from? Did you go rob somebody? I told you not to do any of that. No. Yeah. Got to hear that version in Ubonics. Well, I couldn't believe somebody actually wrote that on Ubonics Bible and how they try to say what happened. They'll say that miracle never really happened. There's no way they fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I said, well, how did it happen? I'm thinking, what are they saying? Well, they said it was a big fish. I said, yeah, that's more of a miracle than anything else. The boy was carrying 2 whales, and he had the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck with him. That's more of a miracle than anything else. Hey, the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want you to see a couple of things here, and then we'll be finished with the person of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. So what's God's kingdom? God's kingdom is this universe, isn't it, tonight? Everything in this world belongs to Him. You're not going to take it with you. And I'm amazed, this preacher. How many people are fearful of what's going to happen economically? And I get this asked a lot of times. You think this whole worldwide economic system is going to collapse? Sure. Oh, I know I should buy gold now. I said, yeah, it's going to collapse. And go ahead and buy all the gold you want. But you know what? The number in the hand and the forehead doesn't happen until the second half of the tribulation period. And that's when the worldwide economic collapse happens. So if you're worried about what's going to happen in the tribulation period, you got more things to worry about than money. But we're sitting there listening to some of these guys on the Rush Limbaugh and the other talk shows like that, and we're listening to these guys say, go buy gold. Well, just remember, Many of us here tonight remember when it was outlawed. Not until Richard Nixon could you own gold. And the government can outlaw it again. Yeah. What good is gold going to do when you're an outlaw because you got the gold? And then they're telling you gold's going to reach $2,500 an ounce. And you know, sure, it's going to reach $2,500 an ounce. With inflation, it probably will. But if they really believe it's going up to $2,500 an ounce, why are they trying to sell it at $1,100 an ounce? Because they're going to make money. And they're going to make money on your fear. Listen, don't talk yourself into fear. Talk yourself to faith in God. But you can talk yourself right out of faith in God into the world's fear, and now you got yourself a whole bunch of metal that you can't do any good. And what good is it going to do you if you have it in the tribulation period? Wrong person. We got to look in about ourselves, and we forgot that God's still in control of everything. God's kingdom is the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And tonight we shall rule and reign with Him someday. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. You know who our number one person is we ought to be looking at? God. Not the economic situations. Not who's going to be over president. Isn't it shameful? It's embarrassing. We were down in Mexico, 2 weeks ago or so down there, and I talked to someone, and they all thought it was a joke, that really this is what we got left. And it's embarrassing. But you know what? I could sure look at all the circumstances out there and come back depressed. Just like if you listen to some of these talk show host people for 3 or 4 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks in a row, you'll be so depressed that you want to go dig a hole in the ground and bury yourself. It's so discouraging. We can sure change all that when we get our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. The person of the kingdom, then the priority of the kingdom here. Seek Him first place. First place, Proverbs 3:6, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. If God can take care of the birds of the air, how much more will He take care of you? What are we worried about? How we're going to eat or what we're going to do, what we're going to buy and sell and get gain? Hey, God can feed the birds. He can feed you. And He can clothe the grass of the field. Wow. You ought to see some of those places I've flown up over there in Alaska. As far as you could see is that those wildflowers, the purple wildflowers, just a whole valley of it. And you think, wow, and God clothed that. Yeah. And God can do the same thing for us. He can take care of us. Meaninglessness doesn't come just from the weariness of pain, but it comes from the vanity of pleasures. You see, many people, the world's out there conditioned. You deserve a break today, and they're thinking, more pleasures, and we need more free time. You know, more computer gadgets we got, the more stress we seem to have. I sat down there at the house the other morning, and I couldn't tell what button to push what because there's all these different buttons on different remotes. I said, just forget it. Shut the TV off, and I couldn't shut it off. So then I did the unpardonable thing, pull out the plug, and that disengaged everything. Now we're going to bring someone back in to set it all up again. Y'all laughing because you've been there, huh? Yeah. Oh, my. My wife lectured me very well. Don't touch that. All right, I ain't going to touch it. Had to get my wife to turn the TV on. I thought, man, I'm old enough to know how to turn the TV on and know what to watch, but I got to ask her first to turn it on for me and shut it off now. Feel like a child all over again. It's like our grandkids, you know. Wow. But we get so caught up in the vanity of pleasures that we forget the real purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's infinite number of pleasures. You know what the... Someone asked this on one of these game shows and said, if money was no problem, in other words, you got a gazillion dollars, if you got an infinite amount of money, what would you do for the rest of your time on this earth if money were no object? You just won the $1,500,000,000 lottery. Money is no object. What would you do for the rest of your life? The number one answer was travel. Number two said, I'd buy a new house. Number three, a new car, set of new cars. And I'm going to tell you, I just reached the million. I got this notice, is it yesterday? I think yesterday, the million mile mark flying. It's not where you go, it's who you're with. Who cares if you get to travel? Because the novelty of travel wears off real quick. I went to one of these timeshare places. My wife got this idea, we're going to go on a cruise, so we got a free cruise on this timeshare. We went to the timeshare, listened to the sales pitch, and the guy's trying to tell me all the good places you could go, and I'm not seeming any interested. And then he brings out this big old three book out there, three ring binder, look at this. Oh, look at these. Those are beautiful resorts. He said, isn't there anyone you would like to go in there? I said, no. He said, well, isn't there any place in the world you would like to go? I said, yeah. He said, where would you like to go? I said, home. You can go travel all around the world, but after it's all done with, there's no place like home. And there's nothing I can say now. We can now say there's nothing that makes us richer. Not money is not making us rich. What makes us rich is relationships. And having grandchildren, you can have a relationship. And watch your kids go out and get sold out for the Lord too. That's what makes you rich. But you can get your eyes on all these other things and gripe and complain about the government and so on. But you need to do is get your focus back on God. He'll take care of us. Tonight, the priority of the kingdom, first place, is the kingdom of God. And in God's kingdom, He's the person we ought to keep our eyes on. And then not on the pleasures of this world. These pleasures are only fleeting. They only pass for a while. Anything that refreshes you without distracting you or taking away your final goal in life is a legitimate pleasure. Or let me put it this way. Anything that takes away your goal from glorifying Jesus Christ becomes an illegitimate pleasure. Because we're here on this purpose to glorify God. That's why God created us. My goal is to glorify Him, not to glorify me, not to glorify what I've done, not to glorify anything I can accomplish, but to glorify God. And so often we're caught up with these illegitimate pleasures. You ever notice this? The best of pleasures have a shelf life. Yeah. Well, I remember when we were in school, we'd say, if I could only get away with it, I'd like to go to Myrtle Beach for the weekend. Just forget the books for a weekend. And a few guys did. I know a few guys, and they started saying, I'm leaving on a jet plane after they went there. And those, it was a pleasure, but it's an illegitimate pleasure. And every pleasure has a shelf life. Amnon, you look at the sin of Amnon. He got what he wanted, but he didn't want what he got afterwards. And you look at the sin of Lot, and he sought for money, the pleasures of money, and what happened? Money and alcohol, and he got what he wanted, but he didn't want what he got afterwards. Esau sought for food, birthright, smirthright, give me that pottage, and so on. The prodigal son sought the world. They all got what they wanted, but they didn't want what they got afterwards, because every pleasure has a shelf life. But there is one pleasure. Can you think of something tonight that never has a shelf life? There's one pleasure that never has a shelf life, and that's the pleasure of prayer. You see, even when someone's dying, they're out there. If you could read the letter we got last night, it made me cry. I've been on my mind all day, someone going through this chemo. And you could hear the wife cry out, does anybody ever care? God does. And when no one seems to care, you know, there's a pleasure of prayer that takes away all the pain and the agony and fear that you have and the questions you got. Lord, You knew about every problem before I had. I'm going to give You those problems back to You. Take no thought. Take no thought tonight. Any pleasure that harms another person's well-being is an illegitimate pleasure. David and Bathsheba, that was an illegitimate pleasure. Yeah. And you can go throughout the Bible, people who partook in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all legitimate pleasures, and eventually it destroyed them. David and Bathsheba sought happiness in sensual pleasures, which later brought disappointment and bitterness, long-term disappointments. I've seen many a millionaire in my lifetime, and especially in our ministry where we do get to see some, I call it $8 by $10. I meet people often with seven-figure bank accounts. And you know what I find out? Many of them are fearful. You think, well, you got seven figures in your bank account, multiple seven figures. You think you would have any more worries? Oh, when you get that kind of money, your biggest worry is that somebody else is going to get your money. And that tells me you put your faith and trust in money, not in the God who created it all. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Tonight, let's see if we can't get our priorities back where they should be. Keep a balance in your priorities when seeking any pleasure. Honey is good. It's good for you. But if I had to eat the whole jar, I'm going to not like that honey anymore. I like to eat a cold, fresh apple. Oh, get me a nice, crisp apple, bite into it, and it just drips down your chin. Don't you like those kind? Yeah, but if I eat the whole basket full, I'm going to curse the basket. It's got to be a balance. Keep a balance in pleasure and pleasures. Many years ago, there was a guy named Jack Higgins. He was the author way back, I guess, back to the 50s or so. Some of you might remember that. But he wrote a book called The Eagle Has Landed. Anyone ever heard that one? All right, so now you know what I'm talking about. This guy wrote a lot of books. And someone went to interview him one day and said, now that you've reached the top, you got out there in the bestseller list all over, different bestseller lists, and you've reached the top. And you've made all this money. Now that you've reached the top, what do you now know that you wish you knew 20 years ago? Can you think about that? How would you answer that? What do you now know that you wish you knew 20 years ago? This Jack Higgins didn't think very long before he answered and gave the man and the interviewer the answer to the question. And I want to quote this. He said, I wish I knew then what I know now, that when you reach the top, there's nothing there. You take God out of it and you reach the top. Is still emptiness and vanity. I think the Bible calls it that, vanity and vexation of spirit. It's not a sin to pursue the glory of God, but it's a sin to take the glory away from God in your pursuit. And here we see the person of the kingdom, we see the priority of the kingdom, and last of all, I want you to see the pursuit of the kingdom. It's a sin to violate this command tonight. It's a sin to violate this command, and our priority one is to make this decision. I'm gonna seek God's will. I'm gonna seek God's way and God's methods. I'm not gonna get myself caught up, taking thought about all these other little peripheral things that'll get me out of the will of God and get my eyes off of God. But Lord, tonight, I'm gonna keep my eyes on you in this circumstance. I can't control all the circumstances, but I know who's in charge of those circumstances. And I can tell you tonight, God isn't sitting out on His throne saying, uh-oh. God's not sitting out there saying, uh-oh. Remember when our kid was small? My son always, he'd put the sippy cup over here, and when mom wasn't looking, he'd knock it on the floor. And then he'd look down and say, uh-oh. God doesn't do that. God knows what's going on, and we need to keep our eyes on Him, not on the problems of the world, but focus on your purpose in this life is to glorify God. Like a small paper cut. You ever get one of those? I had one just about a week ago. Somehow I cut myself with a piece of paper right between in here. Oh, who was it? And it was just a little tiny thing. But, oh, it irritated me all day long. And then when it started to sweat, you know, and I was working on something, my hand got sweaty. And then the salt got in, oh, and it stinks even more. You know, just like a little paper cut, there are choices that we make that seem rather innocuous at the beginning, which later on can have devastating problems in our life later on. A parent says, "Pastor, I think we're just going to go visit another church." "We don't, no problem with you, Pastor. We're just going to go visit another church." And it isn't long, they're not in church. And then when they quit church, what happens? Their children quit church. And then their children, the grandchildren, don't even go to church anymore. See, it's just a little thing. You talk yourself right out of God's best into the world's mess because your priorities are out of order. Let's pray tonight that God will help us to keep one thing purposeful. He said in Luke 11:41 to Martha there, he said, "One thing is needful. Choose that which shall not be taken away." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught us tonight. Thank you for the truth. Pray, Father, you'd help us to have our priorities such that we would magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sin tonight. Forgive us where we've gotten distracted. Some of us may have stalled at some time in our Christian life. Someone here tonight may be in the beginning of a stall. I pray, Lord, that we would take our hands off the controls and let you guide this ship through life that we might glorify Jesus Christ. We ask in his name, amen.
That was a blessing. I hope that what you've heard tonight will not just speed through this side and go out that and go on its way. I hope it'll take root in your heart and life. These lessons tonight are the most practical. They'll keep you out of trouble. They'll keep you on the right road of life. And I appreciate so much. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Whose righteousness?
His
righteousness. Yes. Not mine. Not yours. His righteousness. And then, it says, all these things will be added unto you. That's God's formula for life. That's God's worldview. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our thinking. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you for your precious word, and we thank you that it's practical. It touches us right where we live. And the world would tempt us and try to make us think that the Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. But the Word of God is what keeps us right. The Word of God is what strengthens us. The Word of God is what provides for us if we'll but just take it. And I pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts tonight and use your Word in a powerful way. Change our thinking, dear Lord, and get it in line with your precious Word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.